and welcome to We Are All Stories, a Doctor Who podcast. I am Tess Green, the founder of Tess G Podcasts. You can find me at TessGPodcast.com or on Twitter and Instagram at Tess G Podcasts. Today we are going to go over Series 1, Episode 1, Rose.
Originally, it was called Rose Meets the Doctor and the Journey Begins, and then it got shortened to Rose Meets the Doctor, and now it is just simply Rose. Straight into the point, which is lovely. It is directed by Keith Boak, written by Russell T. Davies, starring Billy Piper and Christopher Eccleston, and the original air date was March 26, 2005.
Watching this episode again, it just brought back so many memories and so many feels. The way it just begins is just, it's such a good strong start to the series and kind of a restart. They are remembering all the history and they'll bring back a bunch of the monsters and they'll bring back a bunch of things. It is rectifying with the past, but also starting anew, starting afresh. So I really like the way they started. There's a few things I love about this episode, so I'm just going to briefly say a couple things I love and I want you guys to keep a sharp eye on. I love the lighting. There's something about the lighting in this episode. It is just so beautiful. Everything is lit incredibly well. That's all I can say. It's just lit incredibly well. There's the bright street, there's the deep dark blues, and there's the oranges and reds. They just used all their colors in lighting, and it just looked beautiful. It was just a great, greatly lit episode. Also, I love the music. The score to this episode is epic. They did such a beautiful job with it, and I am very impressed with what they did. It is so beautiful, and I could just listen to the score all day. Those are my kind of two overall points for this episode. I will now move into the beat-by-beat breakdown. So going through each episode, what kind of happened, what I've noticed, fun facts that I've learned about that part of the episode, if there are any, and any questions I come across. Also, guys, I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear everything you have to say. You are so intelligent, and you probably have way more thoughts than just my thoughts. So it's always good to have different views. And so if you guys want to comment or tweet or Facebook, whatever you want, you can hashtag WAASTGP, which stands for We Are All Stories, Tess G Podcasts. I know these hashtags are always a little ridiculous, but I wanted to make sure that we had one so I could check all the remarks you guys have. So please, 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 please. Instagram, Facebook, tweet. I want to hear it all. I want to see it all. And I love your feedback. Feel free to reach out to me any way you want. You can go to my website. It is TessGPodcasts.com. And there you can send me an email. You can do whatever you wish. I want to hear from you. Your guys' feedback is so important to me. I just want to make sure that I get everything you guys want out of these episodes. So I want to make sure that what I do is what you want. And anything that I can do. So, yeah. Let's get started on the beat by beat. Alright, so the beginning of the episode starts out with the credits. I think they did this because it's been a little bit since Doctor Who started, and they wanted to remind everyone what was happening. So they wanted to remind them about the Doctor, about the TARDIS. Just bring back all those memories, all those feelings that you had when you watched it before. So it is kind of a regeneration of the show. It is trying to reinstill those feelings that you had and bring that all back. So that's why I believe they started with the credits, which I think is a really good way to start the episode since it's been a little while since they've had an episode. So to me, that makes sense. I love then how it moves from the credits to space. So you're seeing the Earth from the outside from space, and it looks really cool, and you're like, okay, this is going to start off in space. This is kind of cool. And then the music gets a little bit louder, and it goes right into England, so it just zooms in from outer space into England. So it is kind of an interesting, you're like, oh wait, we're not starting in space, we're going to start in England, and then we wake up at 7:30 a.m. with Rose. We don't have her name yet, but that is how it starts. So she's in her bed and she awakens which is really an interesting way to start it. It is no longer, or the way that they position this episode is not an episode about the Doctor. It's an episode about Rose. Who is Rose? Who is this girl? What is going on with her life? Why is she important? So we're starting with her point of view, and I really like how they do this. They want to make the viewer connect with Rose Tyler, and I really do enjoy this. I think that also it is really interesting the way that they position Rose in the beginning of the episode, because I feel it is very different from the Rose she gets once she meets the Doctor. The Rose in the beginning, and even before she meets the Doctor, like this little intro session where it's almost like a happy montage of her day, which is kind of what it is. That Rose is very different from the Rose we get when the music stops and they move out of that montage. In this montage, she's very happy, living the everyday, says goodbye to her mom, heads to work, heads to hang out with her boyfriend. Like, it's a very clear, happy day. And they do this with this kind of happy music that just kind of speeds up her day into a short period of time. It's her everyday. Rose is the every woman. And the every person, not even just the every woman. It is just, she's a regular person, a regular earthling. And that is how we are supposed to jump into this episode. So it is very interesting to see them do that. Again, I will point out the music and how awesome it is. And also how awesome it is, because when she steps down and stops the elevator stops, and that last bing, the music stops. And it's just such a good moment to show almost like pre-doctor life. That is who Rose was, the pre-doctor. And the person she is after that elevator beeps is completely different. I do believe that the person that they try to make her was the every person. But the moment she steps out of that elevator, she is now Rose Tyler. She is that woman we admire and we've watched seasons of. And she's just super awesome. So I really love that portrayal of Rose and how she grows, even in the first, 5 minutes of the episode. And the music is fantastic. And also the lighting. It's so happy in the beginning, and then it just suddenly kind of changes. One little question. Do department stores really have that many half-dressed mannequins in the basement? That is something I don't know, and I was looking at that. I'm like, I wonder if that's true. It seems kind of suspect to me. I feel like that's a lot of half-dressed mannequins. And wouldn't they just be naked mannequins? Obviously, they didn't want them to be naked as they're wandering around. They are actors, but still. That I found really funny. Another thing I want to mention, and the main reason that Rose feels like she changed for me from being the every woman in the beginning to this Rose Tyler one and only, is her bravery. So Rose, the moment she steps out of the elevator, she's a little nervous, she's scared, she's going into a creepy basement that she's been into before, so there's a couple times she's fine when she's trying to find the electrician. But when she starts to realize in that mannequin room that something isn't right, she's a little terrified, and you can see it in her eyes. And her behavior. I feel like Billy Piper does an excellent job at that beginning scene of being kind of lost. But she doesn't escape. That first second where she's still looking for the electrician, she doesn't run back out the door. No. She continues forward, trying to see what the problem is, trying to fix the issue. And that to me is a brave woman. She is so brave in this moment, and she is pushing forward even though it's getting really creepy. And it is creepy down there. It is unequivocally creepy. That is the moment I realized Rose is the brave one, and Rose is not the everyman. She is not the everyman. She's what we want to be. She's this brave, heroic person that everyone should strive for, but she is not the every character, the everyman. That is what I got from it. Anyways, feel free to lend your ideas if you think something is different. If you don't think she's this brave warrior princess, which I kind of do. I love Rose. She's fantastic. As the doctor would say. So that's the first little bit before Rose meets the doctor. She, of course, is terrified and does the thing that everyone would do when they're getting cornered by weird mannequins. She backs up and looks terrified. But she's locked in the room, so obviously her sense of survival isn't completely gone. She's not lost her mind. When the door seems to lock, she runs to the door to see what's happened. She always feels like there's an escape when she's going forward with her bravery. So she's not 100% there yet, but you can see it's innate in her character. She is a brave woman, and that is really awesome, and that's a great role model for everybody. And I love how Rose is this fantastic role model for everybody. That is my mini rant on Rose and her bravery. Yeah. So, next, the doctor. One word he says to her, run. Oh, how perfect is that? But, he is fantastic. And I love their first interaction. He says one word, he grabs her hand, and they run. And somehow in that interaction, you feel the partnership. Nothing has happened. They don't know each other. He doesn't know her name. She's just a random human he's going to save. That's exactly what's happened. She's just some random human. And I feel like the fact that they held hands, and even though he grabbed her hand and pulled her, that she's kind of kept up with him. It wasn't him pulling her out and her being immobile. They were a team in that moment. They had a sense of partnership. And I feel like that is really important in the Dr. Rose relationship. He isn't better than her. He has different sets of skills than her, but he's not better than her, and he knows it, she knows it. Maybe not in this moment, but it will become pretty clear that she is a valuable part of the team, and I do love that. I also love how he kind of just tells her, he's like, okay, I'm gonna go blow this place up. Goodbye. She's like, wait, what? And she's supposed to just go back to her regular life. She's supposed to go back to that happy little montage in the beginning, but she can't. Her life has been irrevocably changed, and she can no longer be that Rose Tyler that she was before with her boyfriend and her casual life. And I really do believe that moment he grabbed her hand and she agreed to go with him on this journey, her life has changed. And it doesn't show as much right now. Right now, it's still the beginning. It could go back. It could be changed again. But I don't think that she had any chance of it. I feel like the moment she looked into his eyes and she grabbed his hand, I think that she was hooked. She is confused and doesn't know what's going on, but it's nagging at her. She can't go back. And I love that. She's just addicted to adventure, which would be the most fun. So, Doctor, if you exist, you can come grab me anytime and I will explore time and space with you. Just so you know, if you were confused. The next part is when Rose comes home. She just saw the store explode, which to anybody would be shocking. That's, you were just in there and the store explodes. So that's pretty terrifying. And she gets home and then you kind of fast forward. You see her mom on the phone telling her aunt, her cousin, everybody about what happened, how she should get compensation, blah, blah, blah. We all know Jackie's a little bit of a gossip. So that's kind of what is happening. Mickey then comes in, freaked out that she's died in the store explosion, which is playing on the TV. But Rose says she's fine, everything's good. She's kind of shaken up, but you can tell that she's trying to deal with it. Mickey wants to go see a game at the pub, and she lets him go. So then that is kind of the end of the day. It's just kind of a little bit of a tidy up after what happened, how the real world reacts. And you can kind of see Rose could slip back into the character. This is them trying to push you like, oh, she's going to just be back to normal. Everything's going to be just as it was. And that is kind of that's reiterated as well with the alarm clock. Right after that scene, after Mickey leaves, she's sitting on the couch, you wake up to the 7:30 a.m. alarm clock again. You feel like the day's been restarted. Maybe it was a dream, maybe none of it happened. What are all these things? You're kind of left with this questioning nature. Why is this alarm happening again? Why? I think it is to trick you, as it were, to make you think that it could have been a dream. But you are quickly reminded that it's not when Jackie yells from the other room, you don't have to get up, you don't have a job anymore, kind of thing. So it is Rose realizing it wasn't a dream. This was reality. This just happened. What happened? I don't know, but it just happened. This guy, he was so weird, I don't understand. And she wakes up and she goes and she hears the doctor by the door. She lets him in. Kind of a funny moment when they're looking through the cat flap. That was closed up and then now not. What, was it the doctor who opened it? Who knows? And then the doctor comes in and she kind of grabs him and makes him come in, which is very fantastic. She has her own will, her own gumption. She is not going to let this situation go without her dealing with it. She's going to deal with it. She's going to find out what happened. She's going to figure it all out. So it is very interesting to see Rose behave like that. It is very awesome and shows power and control of the situation, even when she feels out of control, which I love. And then the next part I also love is not Jackie hitting on the doctor. That's expected. I love his reaction to that, by the way. He's like, no. And he leaves, which is fantastic because Jackie is attractive. It's not expected that could happen. But his reaction to their apartment, it took me a couple times watching it before I really saw how awesome that apartment is. There's like wallpaper with like paint stripes on it, different color paint. It's just an awesome apartment. And he's picking through all of her stuff and looking through everything, and it's great. I love it. Also, he makes a mention about his face, how he's never really seen it. He's like, oh, this isn't bad. Does that mean he hasn't looked in a mirror since he changed? Did he just change? Apparently not, because when Rose goes visits that conspiracy theorist guy, the doctor's been around. So he just hasn't ever looked in the mirror, which I found kind of interesting and doesn't really work, so I kind of ignore it. That's just the let it go sometimes. But that was very interesting. I love his interaction with that apartment. There's just something so good about it. And I also love the play with the arm. I know it's kind of funny how Mickey did it yesterday as a joke, and then obviously today it is really choking him and she doesn't see it until she gets it on her face. And I am in the scene and I do understand it, but I can't help it, but I always think about how much fun that would be to act. Act like this arm is cutting off your circulation, or act like it's choking you, or it's suffocating you. Wouldn't that be the funnest thing to do? That's all I can think of in that scene. Like, they're holding it and pretending like it's attacking them. I know. It just takes me out. But it's just funny. I can't help it. But I do love that. And then we move in, so the doctor leaves, because he just keeps leaving. Even though Rose tries to chase him, he doesn't let that happen. anyway, he goes, he disappears, goes to the TARDIS, she's all confused, she goes back home, still confused. But now she's back on track, she's no longer going to let it go. There was a split second maybe she could have, but we all know she couldn't. Where now she is with Mickey. She goes to his apartment, she checks on his computer using Google, like we would use Google if something came up. I don't think Google was her actual search engine, but the same thought applies. That's what we would do. If something weird happened, where would we go? We would go to Google. So I felt like that was very appropriate. That was very much what we would do in that situation, and I loved it. She goes and she figures out, she finds this guy after typing in the doctor blue box, which is great. She finds this guy, and he is a conspiracy theorist, and he is kind of crazy and psycho, and I love the dichotomy between his street, the regular suburban street, and his shed, as it were. Also, his family's hilarious. None of your quackers is here, or crazies, or whatever he says. It's so funny. I like how the lighting in this scene. The street is so happy. You look at the street, you see Mickey's yellow bug. You see this overexposed street. It's so bright. It's so happy. It's so picturesque. Then you go inside to this shed of all these secrets of the doctor, which she doesn't believe, but happened to be true. And it looks so suspect. It's so dark and gloomy and blue and creepy. Like, it's like, ooh, I don't know if I trust that. When it's funny because she's in a situation of safety. She is safe. It is Mickey who is in danger. And it's funny to see how they did that, how they kind of swapped away how you would feel, because the street seems safe. It seems fine. It's happy. It's sunshiny. But in reality, it's the street that's unsafe and the shed that is safe. So it's a very interesting play on that. I really enjoyed that. So many funny things. I like how he doesn't ever change his jacket. The doctor, I know that he doesn't change costume very often, but still very funny. He's like in every one of the guy's photos in the same jacket, even that sketch. I don't know. It was funny.
A little LOL moment. Also,
another point out, the CG from 2005 was hilarious.
When the garbage can sucks in Mickey is so funny. Oh, and then it burps.
Oh, CG.
That's all I can say.
Now we go to the pizza parlor with Mickey. And one thing I gotta say about Rose is I love Rose, love her to death. She's been dating this guy for a while, and if they weren't dating the whole time, they'd been friends forever. You can just tell by the way they interact with each other. They've known each other forever. How does she not know he's made out of plastic? I watched it again, and it wasn't as obvious. It used to feel like it was so obvious. And now, just a little bit of makeup, but, like, he doesn't act like himself. He's being funny. I know she's preoccupied, but she's supposed to be with this guy. And it makes me really think that their relationship isn't very strong because she doesn't notice. I mean, thankfully at the pizza parlor, she finally noticed when he starts to repeat his word and she gets really confused. But there's so many red flags. I know you don't assume your boyfriend's taken over by plastic, but, like, you've seen a few weird things in the past couple days. You should really be suspicious of a lot more than you are. So that's the one thing I don't like. I don't like how Rose doesn't notice that he is plastic. It's one thing I don't like. But I do like how the doctor saves her. They don't get any pizza, which is kind of sad. I like how the doctor opens the TARDIS with a key. That's interesting. We know there's a TARDIS key. We know it opens. But he eventually just opens it with a snap, I think. So it's very interesting to see him actually physically put the key in the door and unlock it. I think it was one of their choices in the beginning and then realized it took too long. But it was nice for a second that they did that. Also, love the TARDIS freak out. Always a good one. It's smaller on the outside. TARDIS. Everyone always gets surprised. I do enjoy that. I enjoyed that Rose seems to be shocked for a little bit, but does quickly get over it. I like how she's the emotions in the relationship. It shows that the doctor's a little bit lacking. He is so busy and does things on such a, like, a huge scale that sometimes he doesn't understand the feeling and the emotions of others because he's saving the world. He's not saving five people. Later on, as the doctor evolves and grows, he kind of remembers. He slips in and out of it, of remembering about the individual. But this is a moment where he kind of forgot about an individual, which is obviously Mickey. But I like how Rose keeps bringing him back to that. Like, you keep forgetting him. You forget he exists. How can you do that? How can you be like this? And I really do like that. I like how she brings him back to the individual. Brings him back to his emotions. Gets him to connect with that side. It's an important part, and I do think she helps the doctor grow as much as he helps her grow. And I really enjoy that between the two of them. We then move to the Eye of London, which is nice. Nice little shout out to London being awesome. I have been on the Eye of London. It was fun and terrifying because you're in a big glass ball, kind of. And it's kind of scary, and I'm scared of heights, which I didn't know, I think, until I went into the Eye of London. So, anyhow, I do like how they use it. It's good to use what you have and incorporate it into the story, right? So it's an easy landmark that mostly everybody knows about. Also, like, the coloring of the underground, the nesting consciousness. I like that, the lair of the nesting consciousness. It's kind of funny looking. It's like a big blob of fiery stuff. So it's interesting. Mickey is terrified. And in this moment, Mickey makes me realize that we are not Rose. We are Mickey. We are that person literally shaking in fear on the floor. Like, that is who the audience is, not this brave Wonder Woman. We are the shivering ball of fear. Also, I do wonder if it's a little bit too much, if he's too scared. I mean, it's a scary kind of moment. He was taken away. He was swallowed by a garbage can. I get it. It's scary. But, like, pull yourself together a little bit. Just a little. Be a little less scared. Because the moment at the end when he's, like, hugging the TARDIS. Come on, Mickey. I don't know. Those little moments of that, I'm just not convinced by Mickey. As this part, from this part on, he gets really wimpy, and I don't know if they did that on purpose. He gets better in the series, but it takes him a while to get some guts. A while. Again, the music and the lighting, fantastic. Just fantastic. I'm just gonna casually mention this forever, I think, because first of all, this episode just did a great job with music and lighting, and then I think they'll often do it in the future as well. I like how they flash back to the mall and the conspiracy theorist dies from the mannequins who shoot from their fingers, which is very funny. It's good pure panic. I love how Jackie's in the middle of it. I think that's appropriate. Keep her in the middle. And she kind of is also the everyman. I think she does a better job of it than Mickey. She's not as wimpy, but she is flighty and stuff. And I think that is actually a better reaction. I think it's a little bit more realistic than Mickey's pure fear. It's her fear and panic. I think more panic was needed from Mickey. Less crying. I don't know if he actually cried, but it felt like crying to me. I like how Rose saves the day, of course. That's very unrealistic, but that's okay. She saves the day, which is fun. Well, to be fair, she saves the doctor. She doesn't save the day. The doctor ends up saving the day backwards, in a backwards way. But Rose does definitely help, and that is a good moment. It shows that she can rise above the situation, whereas Mickey doesn't seem to be able to. He seems to be very much panic mode, fear mode, where she seems to have her stuff together. It wouldn't be fun to watch them both crying on the ground. So it's good that she's brave. And then we see him drop them off. So Mickey gets out, he's crawling on the floor. Another situation where I don't really agree with Mickey. And then Rose gets out. She's clearly more composed. She's been on this journey a little bit longer with the doctor. She kind of knows how this is going. Just a little bit longer. She should still be very confused. And she is. He lets her know a little more and a little more every episode. But I like that moment where he asks, you know, you can come along with me. And she's like, oh no, like, she's trying to be a good person. She's trying to take care of everybody. No, she can't really leave. She has too much going on. It doesn't really fit into her life. It's kind of like she does the right thing, but she doesn't do what she wants to do. And not even the right thing. She does what she thinks is right. What she feels like everyone expects from her versus what she really wants to do or what's right for her. She's choosing the safer path. And then he goes away, and you can see on her face that moment she regretted it. She's like, I'm never going to see him again. That's the end. And then he comes back and says it's a time machine, and she just runs into the TARDIS. I love that moment. The slow motion Rose run. It's so good. Also, it's a great moment to show that it's not really temptation. It's just she gives in to what she wanted to do from the beginning, but didn't feel like she was able to do. She didn't know that she could do that. She didn't know that she could go. She felt like she was going to be letting everyone down. But he said, it's a time machine. She's like, oh, great, I can come back to a minute from now. This is great. I don't have to leave them forever, but I can still do what I want to do. So I'm not shirking my responsibilities. I'm still being responsible. I'm just also being me and exploring me and exploring this new part of me that I didn't know existed. So I do love that. It's her journey of self-discovery. And I think it's really appropriate that she has those moments. And she really embraces herself, I think, in that last minute when she lets it go and follows her heart. I think that's a perfect moment of following her heart. Yeah, I love it. I love that slow motion run. I love that coming back, sticking his head out of the door and saying, it's also a time machine. Or did I mention it was a time machine? And she's like, just runs. Slow motion Rose, running. And if you had any question, guys, I'm miming running right now on this chair. Also kind of ridiculous. So that's how the episode ended. Rose running off, and then we get a little preview of next episode. But before we jump into that, one thing I want to mention is how little I just talked about the Doctor. It's very interesting because they don't center the episode around him. It is very clearly centered around Rose and her journey. Like, looking through the experience through the eyes of a companion, not the Doctor. And I really do enjoy that. I enjoy that the Doctor isn't the main focus of the episode. How we emote so greatly with Rose and we don't follow him as much. He's still a stranger to us. We don't know this Doctor. This, of course, will change as the episodes go on, but I feel like that was a really great start to the season. A really great way to begin the Doctor, to start him. And I do enjoy that. I'm going to do this fun little thing at the end of every episode, because I've just now decided that I'm going to do that, where I say my favorite couple things and my least favorite couple things from each episode. So, my favorite moment of this episode would be when the Doctor walks into Rose's apartment and looks around and snoops her apartment. I think that's such a random moment, but it just shows how real the Doctor is, how real Rose is, and how she has a life outside of him. Well, at least up until that moment, and I do enjoy that. I also do love the slow motion running at the end. Maybe it's a tie for both. My least favorite moment. Well, I guess that'd be the Rose and Mickey at the pizza parlor. I don't love how she doesn't recognize him, and also the CG from 2005 when he gets the cork in the head and it pops out of his mouth. I don't know. I didn't love that scene. That's probably one of my least favorite. And my favorite character from this episode. Well, I know it's like an easy one, but I'm going to say Rose. She was the one who grew the most in this episode and had the most interesting timeline, I guess. Like, it just, she grew. She had a history before this episode. We don't know what it was, but I enjoy that. I enjoy that her life did not begin at the beginning of this episode. It was before she had life, and now she's going to have a life, and it's going to be different with the Doctor. I do love that. Feel free to post your favorite parts and your favorite moment, your least favorite moment, and your favorite character from this episode. So, just because then, you know, feedback's fun. And then I have some questions, some discussion questions for you guys. How did you feel about Mickey this episode? Did you find him how I found him, like a little too wimpy? Or did you connect with him and think he was human like us? Like, more of the everyman because of his lack of strength, I guess? Let me know. Also, do you think Rose could have stayed home? Do you think there was a possibility that she wouldn't run after the Doctor? Just learning who she was through the episode, do you think that that's possible? And if so, what would her life have been like? What do you guys think? I feel like that'd be a really good fan fiction. You know, if I read fan fiction. I'm just kidding, of course I have. Also, what do you think of Rose and Mickey? Do you believe their relationship? I lean towards thinking that they're more friends than boyfriend and girlfriend, just from the reaction, or a very young boyfriend-girlfriend, like high school, where it's not as deep, it's not as romantic, it's very light, like friendship-y, like they hold hands. That's basically the feeling I got from them, but let me know what you think of their relationship. Of course, this is just the first episode, so we will see their relationship grow and evolve, so yeah. That brings us to the end of this lovely podcast for this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys got something from this episode. And next week, I will be posting another episode, and it is Series 1, Episode 2, The End of the World. So that'll be fun when Rose goes to the future and sees the end of the world. That'll be a good experience, I think, and a fun episode to talk about. There's so many characters, so much fun in that episode. I just want to remind you guys to please comment, tweet, Facebook, Instagram, at TestG Podcasts, or you can hashtag WAASTGP. Again, WAASTGP, which stands for We Are All Stories Test G Podcasts. Just so you guys know, weird hashtag, but it'll be great. Anything you hashtag with that, I will read, and I will try to bring some comments to the next episode. So it'll be a little bit of fun with that. Also, please rate me. Your ratings mean so much to me. So if you could just go on to Apple Podcasts and just give me a little rating on iTunes there, I would really appreciate it. Yeah, so just please rate me. Again, I am Tess G Podcasts, and this is We Are All Stories, a Doctor Who podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Ciao for now.